This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2292. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all the dynamic medium of international shortwave, between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded April 24th, Australia, Brazil, Canada, Congo DR, Cuba, Germany, India, Indonesia, Iran, Kurdistan, Martinique, Mongolia, Morocco, Myanmar, Saudi Arabia, Scotland, Turkey, UK, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, more reporting of that new Australian station that Ron Howard told us about last week on 2355 kilohertz. That started on April 17th. He also heard it the next day, April 18th. Tropical radio program, or maybe Tropical Radio Network, for TRP. It's from Kuranda, Queensland, but it's already been on the air on a medium wave frequency and licensed as such on 1611 kilohertz. That location is slightly different. Bibura, Queensland. B-I-B-O-O-H-R-A. He tuned in at 0735 UT and was still going past 0845 and recorded IDs around 0804 UT.
TRP 1611.
Open stereo.
That was via remote in Townsville, Queensland. Also used by David Koenig in the UK of Interval Signals Online on the 18th of April at 09 UT, playing Brown Girl in the Ring and other Caribbean pops. Occasional canned IDs. And asking for reception reports at 932 to 4TRPRadio at gmail.com. That, of course, is the figure 4 and not the word 4. Ron Howard further reports it was still on the air after 15 UT on April 18th. Then on April 19th, Ron was still hearing it at 1316. Also checked at 1750 and still going past 2030 UT with nonstop pop songs. Also, Matt Francis in New South Wales could not hear it direct, but only via the Queensland remote. This was also on April 19th. According to their Facebook page, 15 watts, although the license allows 1,000. And Ron was hearing again randomly on April 20th between 09:15 and 16:15. And on April 21st, fair reception at 1850 UT. But that's not all. There's another Australian station on the 120 meter band, has been for quite a while, on 2368.4, Radio Symban, S-Y-M-B-A-N. It's a Greek ethnic station. On April 18th, it was active, at least because it was Good Friday. Heard it 0910 UT via remote in Brisbane. And on April 19th, he heard it 0755 UT via remote in Sydney, quite a distance further away, with a Greek drama. Zaharis Yangas was listening to a recording and says that Easter-themed drama may have been produced by ERT in Greece. For this one, both Ron and Zaharis were listening via a remote at Hunter Valley, Australia, and was still on the air on April 20th, heard randomly from 0920 with beautiful Greek music and songs. And also April 21st, around local noontime, at 0244 to 0250 with more religious programming and Greek music. And Ron finally got an ID from that after 1019 UT on April 22nd. And while he was at it, Ron Howard also checked for some other low-power Australians on April 20th, and he heard VL8K, Domestic Shortwave Australia, on 4835, around 0937 UT, Radio 567 on 4970, around 09:32, pop songs with frequent IDs. But on that occasion, he was not hearing stations on 5045, Bay Islands Radio, or Radio DX from Norfolk Island. And I happen to hear a ham on 10 meters with a very special call sign, celebrating the International Amateur Radio Union Centennial, April 20th at 01:13 on 28505 USB. CQ from Paul in Melbourne at VI100IARU. Wolfgang Büchel reports one of those Brazilians of questionable officialness, Rádio Saturno in Belo Horizonte, measured on 6149.958, S5N2 in Edmonton, Alberta remote, and also into São Paulo at 0648 UT, April 20th. Rádio Nacional da Amazônia continues with a token English broadcast from RN Brazil on 11780 weeknights at 0150 UT, or a minute or so earlier. They had been airing a multi-part interview with someone in Pará, but finally on UT April 22nd, Richard Langley in New Brunswick says it was the first part of another interview with the singer Valder Wolf, and played some of his song Nosso Planeta, O Pará Tá no Clima. More special ham events are expected April 26th for International Marconi Day. And via Mike Terry from ARRL, there's an effort to save some of Marconi's original towers, and there's a poll open to people to vote on it as a restoration project through the Next Great Save project from the National Trust for Canada. They're the Battle Harbor Marconi Towers. Built in 1904, the Battle Harbor Marconi Towers are reportedly experiencing structural failure after more than a century of exposure to storms and extreme climate conditions on the Labrador coast of Canada, and are in dire need of restoration. These towers were reportedly used to facilitate transmission of news and announcements from Admiral Robert Peary's during his 1909 North Pole expedition. The Marconi Towers are now thought to be the last of their kind still standing in North America. More about that at the ARRL website, and the National Trust Next Great Save website is at nextgreatsave.nationaltrustcanada.ca. Then go to entry 85 for this year. Via Dan Robinson from Radio Kahuzi in the Congo DR, an update from the front line from Rich and Kathy as of April 20th. Our plans remain to move out of the old property, complete car repairs, and reestablish the shortwave outreach. But due to the war, the date of our return has been changed for the third time to May 17th. Jean-Marie returned to Bukavu April 19th from Kenya. Our shortwave transmitter has been ready to go back on the air, but first we need him to verify the computer programming system is not damaged after the bad rain and the hole in the roof of our Radio Kahuzi FM studio. Original frequency, presumably where they'll return, was 6210. North American monitors, myself included, sometimes hear some wobbling sounds or whooping sounds interfering with major medium wave stations, blamed on Cuba. And of course, in that case, one always suspects jamming. However, Terry Kruger in Florida says, surely these wobblers have nothing to do with jamming, rather specific transmitters with the same fault issues, probably Chinese communist ones. However, he does feel that 1141 is mostly intentional. Recall that in the 70s, there was an intentional jammer against Miami 1140 on 1141 or 42. I hear the wobblers most often on 870 or 1040. Tobias in Bavaria would like to publicize an interesting weekly ham radio-related text news broadcast under the call sign DL0BS, usually run by Reiner DF2NU east of Munich on 80 meters. It's every Monday evening except for holidays at 19 UT for about 20 minutes or 25. The nominal frequency is 3590 USB, an audio offset of 750 Hz. Yes, this is not voice, but MFSK32, which, unlike DRM, has proven to be very simple to use and reliable on shortwave, even in adverse conditions. On April 18th, between 10:45 and 12:15, Wolfgang Büchel monitored a number of frequencies from All India Radio, or Akashvani, which were way off frequency from the Delhi Kingsway transmitter site in Tibetan, 9859.805, and 11864.769. And then the Baluchi language on 9859.807. However, some other languages via the Bengaluru site were off frequency by no more than 10 hertz. Remote in Australia, Ron Howard monitoring RRI Nabiri Program 1 Indonesia on 7289.93. April 19th, after 0841, there was a special Christian or perhaps Catholic religious service with singing, preaching, and prayers and a number of amens from an actual church service preempting usual programming of music and Islamic segments. Interesting to hear this from an area of Indonesia that is, of course, predominantly Islamic. And it was still with a non-stop church service past 0935. Rob Wagner in Australia told Ron he was also listening to this on 7289.91, April 19th from 0905 with an extended broadcast still going at 1020. Ron Howard was listening again on April 24th from 0825 to 0850 when it was anomaly, a non-stop talk, not usual non-stop easy listening music, probably related to a special event, a coordination meeting or rakor, bringing together regents from all central Papua province. Then it was back to easy listening songs and an Islamic segment until off at 0913. And then Zaharias Liangas was listening to RRI Nabiri via their web stream from 11:40 past 12:30, but with poor audio. David Koenig reports that Iran's Arabic service was missing from medium wave 1224 kHz. It had been a powerful signal into the remote in Qatar, but not there at 0615 UT, April 24th, and also not heard the day before. It was, however, heard on 612 kHz via remote in Iraq, and streaming online, and on shortwave 15240. Dengegel, the Kurdish clandestine, jumps around various frequencies above 11.5 MHz to avoid Turkish jamming and often succeeds, but they are registered via the transmitter site at Chisinau, Moldova, or Pridnestrovia on behalf of BRB in Belgium on 11530 between 06 and 16 UT. However, there are other frequencies which are seldom reported, not sure if they're on the air, at 16 to 21 on 9525 or 0230 to 0600 on 7350. Meanwhile, Rick Barton in Arizona found the Turkish jamming on 11540 at 1440 UT, April 23rd. A man was doing his best, Ralph Cramden or Mark Levin, that is, angry yelling and shouting, and then rowdy, loud, martial chorus, some more shouting, pounding drums, and Turkish instrumental music. Last week I misspoke slightly about the frequency from Martinique, where there was a clear carrier instead of ute noise. It should have been 4811.1. Mongolia on longwave. Stephen Luce in Houston says, I've heard all three Mongolian longwave frequencies at recent checks of the Khabarovsk Russia remote, between 14 and 15 UT. There tend to be long fade-ups and fade-downs, so if you don't hear anything on one of the frequencies, check again a few minutes later. 209 kHz tends to have the strongest signal, perhaps because it is from three sites. 164 and 227 can be quite good on peaks. 227 is usually the first to drop carrier after sign-off at 1500, as seen on the remote waterfall. The 2025 WRTH Mongolia listing mentions future plans for digital shortwave transmitters, presumably DRM. Would these possibly replace the longwave outlets for national coverage? Mike Barraclough refers us to a report by Michel Frémy of Radio Magazine last September. The Minister for Economic Development, Innovation and Communications says due to a lack of maintenance, propagation of radio waves has deteriorated to 55% of the territory. People in remote areas of Mongolia can no longer listen to the radio. So the minister wants to focus on the transition of radio stations to digital technology and the expansion of shortwave radio. Note that only one of the longwave transmitters has been replaced by a DRM-compatible transmitter. The others date from the 1960s. Mongolia is also likely to suffer from a lack of longwave receivers. Digital shortwave is the least expensive solution for covering an area three times the size of France. Mauno Ritola of WRTH says, I asked RTBN in September and the reply was, we are not abandoning longwave broadcasting in the future. In addition to that, there will be shortwave broadcasting in digital. Still on the subject of longwave, but slightly further in the alphabet, Morocco. Geddes Wisniewskas, W8BYA, near Fort Wayne, Indiana, says, longwave transatlantic propagation into the Midwest USA has been horrible for 4 or 5 months, but on April 22nd, between 04 and 05 UT, but the noise level was slightly down, propagation slightly up, allowing for some recordings of Morocco to be made on 171 kHz. Carrier level was averaging about 40 dB above the violent noise floor. Also heard some weak modulation from Algeria, 252 kHz, but nothing from Northern Europe. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2292, a non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Thanks this week for financial support from Dan Sheedy in Sanitas, California, who sent a generous contribution to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702, and says, big thanks to you for all your efforts keeping DX Info up to date. Cheers from the beach. Stay safe, strong, and may we all survive 25. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. Ron Howard reports on monitoring Myanmar radio via remote in Thailand between 02 and 02:30 UT on 9730. On April 18th, Friday, there were several segments in English, but no English on April 19th, 21st, or 22nd. Then on Wednesday, the 23rd, there was a British English language lesson. On April 23rd, Joe's Jacob in India noted, Myanmar radio was signing on at 2300 on 9730 instead of 5985. Ron Howard was also monitoring via the Thai remote and was hearing 9730 with a test tone from 2252, an open carrier at 2254, and at 2300 starting audio and no signal on 5985, just hearing CNR1 China. Then on April 24th, Ron reports via the remote in Thailand, Myanmar radio off the air from 5985, 9730, and not on 7200 either when checking for English from 1530. But he was hearing that on medium wave 594 and slightly better 576 via the remote in Thailand. And then at 1541, weather report and the normal government slogans and propaganda. On April 18th at 1624, Republic of Yemen radio via Saudi Arabia was on a near exact frequency for a change, 11935 instead of about 0.1 kilohertz below, as Wolfgang Büschel had pointed out earlier. It must have changed transmitters. However, by April 24th, it was missing completely, no 11935 as first reported by Zaharias Langus at 10:56 past 11 UT, nor when I checked at 16:35. I also looked for their previous frequencies, 11915, 11820, and 11860, but not there either. Tony Curry of Radio 6 International in Scotland reports a time change for his weekly broadcast via Channel 292 Germany, 9670. It's at 21 to 22 UT since April 12th. Voice of Turkey has been missing some broadcasts due to maintenance, but they were on the air Sunday, April 20th for the Letterbox program when Alan Holder and I heard them explain that the American antenna is out of use, the replacement antenna not working as it should. Rain had been preventing trucks from moving around the ground for repairs, and they were afraid it would not improve very quickly. 11785 at 22 UT for North America was missing April 23rd, but back on the 24th with an extremely strong signal into the Dutch remote, 60 over S9. From the Irish Times of April 18th via Mike Cooper, plans by the BBC to stop people outside the UK listening to its hugely popular BBC Sound service have been delayed as it makes arrangements to ensure that their radio stations can be found on other platforms. That is, instead of losing them from late April, though they could continue listening live to BBC Radio 4 and the World Service on BBC.com. On shortwave, Peter W. Hansen says as of April 22nd, BBC has been missing for two nights in a row from 9510 at 00 to 02 UT, not a trace. Andy Reid replies, they moved to 9670. I'm sure Channel 292 in Germany would not be happy. Why the change? Again, this week there's been a great deal of press about the Voice of America situation. Of particular note, on April 22nd, this from Politico. A federal judge has ordered the Trump administration to restore Voice of America, saying the effort to gut the 80-year-old government-funded news service likely violated the law and Constitution. U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth said the administration's rush to dismantle VOA and related organizations funded by the U.S. Agency for Global Media resulted in suspension of hundreds of journalists and employees. It put some overseas correspondents at risk of being deported to their home countries. And Lamberth said the silencing of VOA for the first time in 80 years also deprived hundreds of millions of listeners of a reliable source of news in parts of the world that lack a free press. He said the administration offered virtually no justification for the draconian cuts. Associated Press points out that the judge ordered the administration to restore VOA and two of the independent broadcast networks operated by USAGM, Radio Free Asia, and Middle East Broadcasting Networks until the lawsuits are settled. But he denied a request for two other independent networks, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, and the Open Technology Fund. As of April 22nd, one of our informants reports, the court has said that VOA, Marti, and RFA will resume broadcasting, but when they resume on shortwave, we don't know. Kuwait had got three new transmitters from Ambigan, unknown power. Greenville has received one 100 kilowatt by Continental, one that was never installed and was in storage for years. That will replace the AEG 500 kilowatt rig, GB8. Macon Dial is still the only breathing inhabitant, except for a few mice and some snakes, at the station in Greenville. Stephen Luce says, a good source on another forum told me that Kuwait was getting four new Ampagon transmitters, power not specified but assumed 300 kilowatts middle level. Order was placed in late 2024. Another informant, Melvin Eleazar, who retired from Radio Marti and Marathon, says it's not been a good day for anyone, VOA. All my friends are like my family. They don't deserve being treated like nothing. They are all concerned and worried about the future of them and VOA. Their heart and souls are with their family at VOA. It's always been like that from day one, just like family. And then on April 24th, he updates with the status of the Office of Cuba Broadcasting. The studio in Miami is now open with only 30 to 35 employees inside the building. Newscasts are now live from Miami on an hourly schedule. Programming content produced is only about 30% of the airtime. More will be added at a later date. Medium wave 1180 at 100 kilowatts is still on the air 24 hours a day. As for Site B in Greenville, North Carolina, air conditioning is on in the building 24/7 and transmitter pumps are on. They're awaiting a power-up schedule. Some staff members are on site daily. Via Mike Cooper, there's a Washington Post story on April 24th, headline, Voice of America is back for now. China won't be pleased. The latest development, April 24th, from Steve Herman on Blue Sky via Tony Pavic. Kari Lake and USAGM have filed an appeal after a federal judge in D.C. ordered the government agency to bring back to work VOA's staff and resume broadcasting. And from UPI, April 21st, via Yimber Gaviria, American Forces Network will reduce radio programming starting May 1st to better streamline operations, the Department of Defense announced. Removed will be AFN Legacy, Freedom Rock, The Blend, and Joe Radio, according to a news release. And commercially produced podcasts will no longer be available. Some things botched up at Bethel, Pennsylvania. WMLK has been putting out spurs at 4 kHz intervals, far above and below its normal frequencies, such as from 9275, April 21st at 0343. The spurs were detectable between 9259 and 9291, and two of them framed neighbor WINB on 9263 and 9267. And April 21st at 1449, the 15150 transmitter was doing the same. The spurs audible every 4 kHz between 15130 and 15166. Next day, via remote in Alberta, Wolfgang Büscher was hearing them even further out, between 15.122 and 15.178. Last week, we had a report that WFAY in North Carolina was off frequency, 1229.9 kHz. But Andy Lavendell, who DX'd it, explains that the frequency he actually reported was 1229.9983. It seems the editor doesn't know anything about rounding off numbers. It was much closer to the real frequency, only 1.7 hertz away. Two California medium wave stations have been DX'd in South Africa. That is a very long way, as reported in the Medium Wave Circle by Vince Stevens in Cape Town. KBLA 1580 in Santa Monica, which is 50 kilowatts, and KDIA 1640 in Vallejo, 10 kilowatts max. He presented recordings, and members of the group helped identify them. Have you heard about the Broadcast Freedom and Independence Act? KSFR reports that Senator Ben Ray Lujan of New Mexico and two other U.S. senators introduced a bill in March aiming to limit the federal government's influence over broadcast media and to protect news organizations from politically motivated retaliation. And that might apply to the following. David Folkenflik of NPR reports that 60 Minutes chief has resigned, saying the show's independence was compromised. A longtime head resigned as the network's parent company contemplates a settlement with President Trump over his lawsuit, focusing on an interview the show did with then-Vice President Kamala Harris last fall. In an emotionally charged meeting, and again in a note to staff released shortly after, the show's executive producer, Bill Owens, said he was departing after 37 years with CBS News following months of heavy-handed treatment of the show by corporate leaders. Owens, only the third leader of the show in its more than half-century history, did not explicitly cite Trump, but the president's open rancor towards 60 Minutes looms over all. Corporate parent Paramount and its controlling owner, Sherry Redstone, are seeking the approval of federal regulators to sell it to the son of Oracle founder Larry Ellison. The billionaire software mogul is a friend of Trump, who visited the president at the White House earlier this year. AWRL reported on April 18th that Paul Cook, nicknamed Tad, K7RA, passed away on April 13th. For 36 years, Cook wrote the weekly W1AW Propagation Forecast Bulletin and the K7RA Solar Update for the AWRL letter. He retired in January, citing a recent ALS diagnosis, and on March 8 received the AWRL President's Award, presented by Northwestern Division Director Mark Tharp. Besides ham radio, Tad discovered a dance subculture on Capitol Hill in Seattle, getting hooked on traditional blues dancing, and danced at a underground and waves a Haitian restaurant. The propagation outlook from SWPC issued April 21st. Geomagnetic field likely to reach G2 moderate and G1 minor storm levels. ANKNC's peaking at 35 and 6 on May 2nd, 25 and 5 on May 5th. Otherwise, 12 and 4 except for these quiet periods, 8 and 3, April 26th and 27th, 6 and 2 on the 28th to 30th, and 5 and 2 on May 12th to 15th. Solar flux peaking at 175 May 2nd, and down to 155 by May 12th. Consult our website for much more info, worldofradio.com. worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our contributors and stations, hoping you'll hear me again next week. Glenn Hauser here concluding World of Radio 2292 with a standard disclaimer.